Thank you. Good morning. I first thank the organizers for the invitation to be part of this panel. Today, I want to share for discussion some ideas on why and how human rights should be an essential part of DSI, their sustainability analysis, and more specifically, the role that the prohibition of discrimination based on gender should play in the context of DSI. These ideas are based on a book that has been published recently and in which a number of scholars and practitioners have contributed, including special procedures, mandate holders. So from the title itself, the book poses the following question: feminist debt, utopia, or oxymoron? Today, I want to focus on how debt sustainability is regularly assessed and how it should be assessed if international financial institutions, Ministry of Finance, and credit rating agencies would seriously adopt a gender approach. More specifically, I want to elaborate on how we can go deeper in this assessment in order to grasp the roots of inequalities that at the end of the day will be translated into debt policies. The criteria to assess debt sustainability, economic reforms, and their results in terms of human rights, including gender equality, are mediated by politics. If the political and social context is androcentric, is it realistic to think that economic policies resulting from this same context will not have the same machista bias? Therefore, efforts should not only aim at understanding the causal connections between economic policies and their effects in terms of gender, but they should also focus on how power is created with an androcentric bias, which in turn is a result of the dynamics of interdependent dimensions, as we know. Among these dimensions, we found positional factors. That means how people are placed in material structures or how current institutions and rules are formed, and also interpretative factors. That means how we understand and see the world. The feedback dynamics of these dimensions eventually determine the foundation of the social order, and with that, the economic reforms and their consequences in terms of gender. The conception of family, for instance, has a deep influence on how it is believed domestic care tasks should be distributed and compensated, which in turn impacts on how binding the repayment of debt is considered if this contradicts the obligation to ensure the right to care. Also, what is said and not said has an impact on the representational world that is built from power. Let me offer an example. A female director of the IMF who proudly promotes a gender-based approach takes attention out of the adjustment persistence and its effects on the economy of care, and the intrinsic importance of gender equality, presenting equality as a means for the economy to grow more, while, for example, the surcharges that debtors state paid until 5 minutes ago to the IMF went untouched, eroding the fiscal space to implement public policies that reduce gender inequalities. Performing gender-responsive budget assessment, including debt repayments, selecting in an opportunistic way the budgetary lines with positive effects on inequalities, and omitting the consideration of neoliberal elephants, strengthen the meta idea about the so-called neutrality of debt in terms of gender. All this ends up giving more importance to the legitimacy of the political and economic structure of the neoliberal capitalism. And the perception of women, their family responsibilities, and their labor ambitions reflected in the media contribute to model the level of differential sacrifice of women that is socially accepted as a consequence of the implementation of austerity measures to be able to repay the debt. My point is that recognizing the endogenous nature of power relations and the impact on economic policies and thus on women's rights forces us to define feminist strategies in the field of debt that cover both aspects: politics and its material and immaterial conditioning factors and how such dynamics are translated into policy and economic reforms with differential effects to the point that they violate the discrimination prohibition. To tackle both dimensions in a simultaneous and integrated way is not only possible, but also necessary. In March 2019, the Human Rights Council approved the guiding principles on human rights impact assessment of economic reforms that set forth the incorporation to the radar of a wide series of causes that include both the factors that operate the dynamics of power in politics and the relation between economic reforms and the effects on women. To conclude, an approach based on human rights postulates a notion of debt sustainability that considers not only the repayment ability of the country, but also if the agreed level of debt and its service would compromise the minimal fiscal resources of the state to ensure the fulfillment of human rights, including the discrimination prohibition based on gender. Thus, the principle pacta sunt servanda, that means agreements must be kept, of financial law must be harmonized with international obligations of human rights and gender equality, which in turn may suggest that debt relief is needed. Thank you.